Okay. Fasten your seat belts. I hope to take you someplace where you've never been and from whence maybe you'll never return. Our subject this morning is one that we've covered in the past in different ways. It's the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the prayer that is mistakenly labeled by tradition and ignorance as the Lord's Prayer. So to begin with, if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And in this sixth chapter, the disciples had just asked Christ. They said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John has also taught his disciples." And so beginning there in the sixth chapter, in verse 9, he says to his disciples, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It is not the Lord's Prayer, and we've covered this before, and I'm not going to go into this in a lot of detail. It is the kingdom prayer. It is their prayer. It's not the Father's prayer. Notice he says, you or your prayer should be as follows. He does not say, my Father. He does not say, Father. It's you should pray accordingly. The hour is collective to the disciples, and it's not for you. And we've covered a lot of this before, and I don't feel a need to go into it much this morning. The key is the words there. Notice, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We know that his will is not yet accomplished in the heavenlies, because iniquity was found there, Satan was cast out, the angels were left. The church is not there yet. His will is not done in the heavens. So the prayer is for a very narrow period of time. It's probably during the tribulation time, after, let's say, the first resurrection, and it's to be used by those remnant Jews who will come into a position of belief at that time. They are praying for the kingdom. And yet today, it's not realized. This prayer will be prayed hundreds of thousands of times today alone in the United States. If that's not the Lord's Prayer, then what is it? Well, turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23. By the way, we've looked at that before, but if you read the verses before that, Matthew 6, people pay no attention to the verses before that, what he says. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they speak that they shall be heard for their much speaking." He's saying don't say that prayer over and over, and yet it's said over and over in ignorance. Luke chapter 23. Look at verse 34. "And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is his prayer. What did he mean? Was he forgiving those who were there doing the dirty work, who nailed him to the cross and hung him up there? Is that who he was forgiving? What was the Father's answer to the prayer? Could Israel have known who Christ was? Surely they could have known who he was. The gospel made it plain as to who he was. Was he forgiving them for that, not knowing? He told them who he was. They could have known. Should Israel have known who Christ was? Surely they should have known because of the prophecies that were fulfilled by him. But did they really know? The Lord Jesus said, they know not what they do. And you cannot be bold enough to argue against that. These are great questions with regard to the prayer, but there is more going on here than first meets the eye. Here in this prayer, the Lord was graciously, patiently acknowledging and imputing to Israel that their sin of rejection and crucifying him was a sin of ignorance. They did not know. Now, are you aware of how Moses was to distinguish the difference between a sin of ignorance and a presumptuous sin? To comprehend what is going on here in this prayer, you have to understand something back in the Old Testament. So go back in your Bibles to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 15. What we have here is Christ, the Lord, has given Moses all of the different commandments that the nation of Israel was to live by. And so beginning in that 15th chapter in verse 22, here's what he says, "And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance." That strangers are the Gentiles that are part of them. "And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for a stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and said unto the congregation, and they put him in ward, or they put him in a cell, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. They knew that he had to die. They didn't know how he was to die. And the Lord said, you're going to die by being stoned. Here Moses made plain the divine laws and the distinction between sins of ignorance and presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin being a sin at that time against the full knowledge of God. Audaciously, arrogantly, in the face of the Father, knowing full well what the law was, and that was, there's to be no work on the Sabbath day. And so here's this guy out there innocently picking up sticks. That's considered to be work. And they stoned him to death. The priest could not make an atonement as he could for a sin of ignorance. The presumptuous sinner must die without mercy. So, back to the prayer from the cross. What the Lord prayed for was grace, that a hard-hearted and stiff-necked nation would not be classed as presumptuous in their sin, so that they could live to be awakened by the ministers of Peter and Paul and the disciples during the Acts period, a second chance, if you will, to comprehend the enormity of their sin and to repent. That's what the prayer was for. Forgive them, so that it was not a presumptuous sin, but a sin of ignorance. The answer to the prayer was yes. And that is exactly what happened during the next 35 years, as described in the book of Acts, during Peter and Paul's ministry. Let me show you some of that. Turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it. Did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent. Peter is saying, you did it in ignorance. Here the kingdom is being reoffered to Israel as a result of the Lord's prayer and his kindness and his grace from the cross. They were counted as ignorant of the truth as to who Christ was. We also see that in Stephen's prayer. Stephen obviously understood what Christ had prayed and was in was happening. Turn back to chapter 7 of Acts. Chapter 7. Peter had picked up on what was going on. He understood. Verse 59 of that 7th chapter. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He did not want them to be charged with a presumptuous sin, as the Lord had prayed. And the Father said, okay. The answer was, it's not a presumptuous sin. They did not know. Paul continues this same message in the book of Acts. If you'll notice, he always went, his policy was to always go in his ministry to the synagogues first in every city. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world and to our glory, which none of the princes or the rulers of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. So it's not a sin of presumptuous sin. They, had they known, oh, what a difference it would have made if they would have known. But they didn't know. Paul, during the book of Acts, in about the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, he writes Romans. Turn in the book of Romans to chapter 10. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They, being ignorant. We see this same thing when Paul writes to the Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Paul is referring the Hebrews back to this same thing that we looked at back in the book of Numbers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, he's talking to the Hebrews now, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law did without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be through worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. They crucified him. Here Paul is referring to that very passage that we read back in the book of Numbers. They were doubting at this point, even after the crucifixion, they were doubting, the Hebrews were doubting the deity of Christ. After 3 decades, 30-some years, they had been given grace. Well, by this time, how did it turn out? Here's this whole period of time, 35 years, that the Lord's Prayer was answered. They know not what they did. They were given another chance. What happened? Well, turn to the book of Acts, the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's look at verse, in that 28th chapter, start with verse 25. And some believe the things which were, verse 24, and some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. And when they did, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophets unto our fathers, saying, go into this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their, or see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. They still, after 35 years during the Acts period, with Peter and Paul teaching again who Christ was, they still did not know. The bar, to me, has always been set very high for the nation of Israel. Why is that? Because they had to come into a position of belief as a nation, not individually. And that's what the prayer that we read back in Matthew is for. At that point, the nation, the remnant that's left, will pray that prayer that we first read in Matthew, that is the kingdom prayer. And I wanted to stop right here just for a minute and back up, have a sidebar. If you notice there in those verses we read, it appears that the Jews departed twice. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And then down in 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed. We had a lesson on that not too long ago, and Elton came up and reminded me about the fact that the two words there, departed, are different. The first one in verse 25 has the connotation of divorce. And you know that that's part of the scenario that you read in Scripture with regard to Israel, like a divorced woman. And so the first depart is a connotation of divorce, but the last word, depart, in verse 29 has more to do with just a physical lay left. It marched away. So I wanted to point that out. It was a good thing Elton brought it up after we had a lesson here about a month ago. And it's a good thing to understand. But this is not the last chapter in the book. What is to come as a result of God giving them this status of being ignorant? What is to come? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, page 1061. Jeremiah chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And now you know the rest of the story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your love towards us. We are again grateful for the written word, for the understanding that comes thereby. I pray that we may continue to study individually, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.